The Lord is blessing Egypt in many, many ways. He's raising up a generation of people who love Him, who want to serve Him. And we are blessed by you immensely this morning. Thank you so much. Talk about hold out your candle. On the way in this morning, you each received an invitation. I know you'll be here next week at 9 a.m. We're combining our three services into one, 9 a.m. But how many of you invited somebody else already? One hand at the back? Dear friends, this is a phenomenal opportunity to invite people. They will come. Invite them. We've even printed invitations to help you, to help make it easy for you. Invite your neighbors, your friends, whatever. We want to literally pack this place out, jam it up to standing room only, not just for numbers, but we believe we have not just a celebration, we have something to give our community, and we want to share Jesus with them. So invite people to come. There's other invitations at the information booth. Pick them up on the way. The group this morning is called Into the Deep. What a wonderful name. A reminder that we need to plunge into the depths of who God is. And let's do that together this morning. Take your Bibles with me. Yes. Okay, children are going to sing. Okay, I'm sorry. And the children who are going to sing and practice for the Christmas program, you're dismissed at this time. They're going into the deep of practice, and we will go into the deep of Scripture study. Join with me, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verse 6, using that as our springboard. We'll cover a lot of scriptural territory this morning, but end up at Genesis chapter 14, so you may want to put your finger in both those places. Have you ever wondered why some people go through life with a smile on their face, a skip in their step, joy in their heart, feeling completely secure, while other people seem to struggle? They seem to feel lonely, forgotten, insecure, heavy, down, forgotten, second class. Ever wondered why there seems to be these two categories of people and what makes a difference? Well, if you'd like to be in the first category, then this morning this message from the Scripture is for you. But if you're satisfied to stay in the cellar, or if you hate the idea of somebody telling you things can get better, then this message probably isn't for you this morning, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. So join me in prayer, identify your heart, and let's ask the Lord to minister to us. Father, we thank you for the ministry that we have had to our hearts this morning. We trust that we have been a ministry to you as we have sung your praises. And now, Lord, we ask that you would open us up and minister to us as your children, as we need to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. In early American history, there is a fascinating story of a group of people who were being assisted by the cavalry across a river that had swollen and was flooding its banks, and they were in danger. And so the cavalry had come in to help them across the river. There was one fellow, though, who was extremely fearful, and he just didn't want to go. He wouldn't go with anybody. Finally, he accepted a ride with one of the officers, was drawn up onto his horse, and they made their way across this swollen river safely. When they got to the other side, his friends began criticizing him, teasing him, and mocking him because they were saying, "Why did you wait for the president himself to give you a ride?" The president of the United States had actually taken him on his horse and taken him across the river, and the guy said, "The president? I had no idea it was the president." And they says, "Oh, yeah, well, then why did you wait for him to give you a ride, and why did you pass up everybody else?" And he said, "The reason I chose him was because when I looked at him, his face said yes, and I knew that he could do it." Dear friends, this morning we are going to look into the yes face of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, our Lord is called Misthapodotes in the Greek. This is the only time the word appears in the New Testament. It comes from the root word misthos, which means wages, dues paid for work, a reward. And it is used of the fruit naturally resulting from toils and endeavors. In this verse, God is actually referred to as a rewarder, one who pays wages and recompense, who gives rewards. Now listen to the full verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. This verse, dear friends, teaches us that what we believe severely affects how we live. And this is not only true in the spiritual realm, but in every single realm of life. The behavioral sciences verify what the scriptures declared long time ago. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we think about ourselves, what we think, what we imagine, what we believe, severely affects how we live. It directly impacts how we perform. And it has a significant impact on everything we accomplish. This verse indicates that, as I said, that what goes on inside the mind and inside the heart of a man ultimately affects his actions or her actions. Recently, an elementary teacher back in the United States did a test on her students with full approval of the parents. One day she told them that scientists had proven that people with blue eyes had a higher IQ than people with brown eyes. And she noticed that over the next couple weeks that the blue-eyed children's work improved dramatically while the brown-eyed children's work began to digress. She then announced after a couple weeks that she had made a terrible mistake, that the report was actually the opposite, that the brown-eyed people were really the ones with a higher IQ and the blue-eyed people weren't as smart. Immediately, as she expected, the brown-eyed children improved markedly while the blue-eyed children began to lose their grades. Once the experiment proved the point, she cleared it up with all of them and with their parents. What is true for those elementary children, dear friends, is true for every one of us. It's not our IQ that determines our life. It's our EQ. It's not our intelligence quotient. It's our expectancy quotient that determines how we live, that determines where we go, that determines what we accomplish. It's our EQ, not our IQ. Many people with low IQs have accomplished miles more than people with great IQs. It has everything to do with what we expect. What do you expect from yourself? What do you believe about yourself? People who are winners keep on winning. People who believe they are losers just keep on losing. What we believe about ourselves has everything to do with the outcome of our life. People who say, I can't do that, don't. People who say, I can do that, do. It's amazing. Follow it in every trail of life. Those who believe God is out to get them spend their life running away from Him. While those who believe that God is out to bless them revel in His blessings. Attitude is everything when it comes to our perception of ourselves, our world, and especially about God. I'm amazed, dear friends, at how many Christians seem to cultivate and maintain attitudes of defeat, of poverty, and insecurity. Now, this is not a health and wealth gospel message this morning, dear friends. I'm talking reality. We live out our existence many times alienated from the blessings of God, and as a result, we are overcome in our interpersonal relationships by jealousy, suspicion, depression, envy, and all kinds of other interpersonal collisions. And it stems from our perceptions of ourselves, our expectancy of ourselves, and what we expect of other people. Do you have a positive attitude this morning? You may say, no, I'm kind of a pessimist. Do you have a positive attitude this morning? Do you expect to be blessed? I'm not asking you about your IQ or even your personality. I'm asking you about your EQ. Do you expect to be blessed? What do you expect from life? What do you expect from yourself? And most importantly this morning, what do you expect from God? Most of us can do little if anything, about our IQ. But if there was a way of improving your EQ this morning, which would ultimately affect your life, would you be interested in that? Closing prayer? Would you be interested in that? Okay, I'm glad. Well, you're alive. Good, good. Okay, if there's a way of improving our EQ, then let's go for it. There is a way. And the Bible says the way we improve our EQ is by taking a very good look at who God is. And when we see God for who He is, when we recognize Him, when we acknowledge Him, and then when we relate to Him accordingly, dear friends, you will notice your EQ begin to throb, begin to pulsate, begin to multiply like cell division, and begin to grow and expand your whole life. When you catch a glimpse of who God is. Look at that verse again. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a what? A rewarder. If you're going to come to God, if you're going to come to church and have anything to do with God, there's two foundation stones on which you have to build your relationship. One, God exists, and two, He is... Good morning. He is a rewarder. That's the essence, the basis, the rock-solid foundation of faith. You cannot relate to God without understanding and believing those two things. He exists and He rewards. He exists and He rewards. You know what? This morning there are people in every religion around the world who believe in many different kinds of gods. Most, if not all of them, are not rewarders. Check it out. They're on the take. They require, they demand, they punish, they are fickle. They never keep or rarely keep their promises. They do not give assurance. Just this week I was talking to somebody from another religion, and I asked him what his religion taught. I knew, but I asked him anyway. I wanted him to say it. I asked what his religion taught about life after death. And he said that in his religion they hoped to go to heaven, but they really weren't sure until they got there and faced the judgment. And I said, what a shame. Aren't you glad that Jesus promises those who believe absolute assurance of eternal life? Aren't you glad? Yes. He's a rewarder. Not just in the sweet by and by, He's a rewarder now. He gives us the assurance now. He gives us the treasure then. The one true living God has always been a rewarder. He is a rewarder now, and He will always be a rewarder. It's the essence of His nature. That's who He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The question is not with God's character or with His operation or with His desire. Those things have never been in question. The question is always with us, whether or not we will believe who God declares Himself to be. That's where the issue resides. Listen to a sampling, just a sampling, of some of the scriptural promises that I found. Psalm 19, 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you hear it? Why does God give us this stuff? Why does He say, my child, come meet with me every day? I want to pour my truth into your life. Why? So I can put an anchor on your soul and a weight on your back and make you a humdrum, grum Christian? No! Why does He give it to us? So He can give us a great reward. That's who God is. He wants to reward us. He wants to pour into our lives. He wants to bless us. And yet we hold back on Him. Dummy, us. He wants to give. He wants to bless. Psalm 11:18, He who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Psalm 19:17, He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done. Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Can you see Jesus' yes face? Can you see him smiling, saying, ask, seek, knock, I'm waiting. Yes! He wants to reward. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. Oh, this here's a heavy part. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 10:41-42, if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Ephesians 6:7-8. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever he does, whether he is a slave or free. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those of us who love Him. Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to everyone according to what he has done. Does Jesus' face say yes or no? Yes! Yes! Dear friends, hear me this morning. Those who believe that Jesus is a rewarder yield their lives to Him and reap His benefits, while those who don't continue to mistrust His motives and live apart from Him. Those who acknowledge Him as a rewarder are filled with security, knowing they cannot escape His care and His blessing, while those who don't know Him keep searching for temporal securities that are shifting like the sand. Those who know the rewarder are filled with joy and peace, while those who don't can only long for them and try to find them elsewhere. Remember when Jesus told us to turn the other cheek if somebody slapped us? And He said, if somebody asks for your coat, give them your cloak as well. If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. What kind of person can do that? It's the person who is totally secure in Christ. Knowing that if they ask my coat, I take it off, I give it to them and give them my shirt as well, I have full security knowing that Jesus will give me another one. But it's the people who, what am I going to do without a coat? If He slaps me, what am I going to do with my reputation? If He asks me to go 1 mile, where am I going to get the strength? It's people who only have themselves that cannot give their lives away. But dear friends, when we discover Jesus is our rewarder, when we discover that we cannot exhaust His stockpile of treasures, of blessings, of strength, of enabling, we're free to give our lives away. Free. Because He's our rewarder. And we've learned to believe that and to understand it and to plug into it. Those who hold everything closely in their life and tightly merely reveal their significant mistrust of God and His promises. When we truly acknowledge Jesus to be the rewarder and believe that He is our rewarder, we develop an attitude of expectancy. We actually start to look for how God is going to surprise us. In other words, we expand our EQ. And then that acknowledgement and that attitude turn into something else. They turn into action. How many of you have ever had an IQ test? You know, wise schools never reveal the results of those. They take them, they put them in your file, but they don't tell you what they are because they know. Any human behavioralist will know what knowing your IQ can do to you. It can damage you severely. There's also an EQ test, but this is good to take. The best way we test our EQ is simply to examine our actions. Our actions almost always reveal very accurately what our true beliefs are. Not what we say we believe, but what we truly believe. You see, if we say that we believe that God is a rewarder, but we are insecure, tight-fisted, and demanding of others, we obviously don't believe what we say we believe. Those who know the rewarder, dear friends, have the results borne out in how they live. Always. Genesis 14 carries a wonderful story about this truth. It's the story of Abraham rescuing Lot and his family from the invading armies. You remember the story? These five kings came together under Kedorlaomer, and they came and sacked the whole area. They took all the people from Sodom, and Lot and his family were in that group. And so Abraham mustered his men. He gathered them. They went after these five kings and their armies, and he beat them with God's help. But it wasn't to win a victory, it wasn't to claim territory, he simply wanted to rescue that which was his. And so he rescued Sodom and obviously a lot of the other people from the town. When he brought them back first of all, on the way back, he met Melchizedek, and the priest of God, and he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, acknowledging that everything he had obtained in the battle was really from the Lord. And then, let me read it. Genesis 14:21. The king of Sodom then said to Abraham, "Give me my people and you keep the goods for yourself." The implication is, Abraham, you went out there, you did the battle, you did all, you deserve all the spoil. Take it, just give me my people. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." You see, first Abraham tithes. He gives to God a tenth of everything that he obtained, which is a clear recognition that God was his provision. And then he refuses to take from others even what he could have justifiably taken. He refuses to accept it. How many of us operate exactly the opposite? We get all we can, and we can all we get. What was it that gave Abraham such amazing freedom, such amazing security, such amazing faith? What was it that made this man operate in such a wonderful manner? What was it? He knew that his security and his success did not come from men. It did not come from him. He knew that it came from God. And guess what the very next verse says? The very next verse, Genesis 15:1. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and I am your very great reward.'" That's who I am, Abram. You acknowledged me. You didn't lean on all these things. You had an inkling that that's who I was. That's who I am, Abram. I'm your reward. When Abraham looked up into the face of God, you know what he saw? Yes! That's what he saw. That's what prompted him to live the way he did. Dear friends, when you read the Scriptures, and when you come upon a promise in the Word of God, and you wonder, could this be for me? Or maybe that's not for me. When you see a promise in the Scripture, do you see God saying, yes? Or do you see Him saying, I'm not sure about that one. Do you see God saying, yes, my child? Or do you see Him saying, no, that was for another group at another time? What do you see when you look into the face of God? When you look up and you wonder whether God will look after you in your unique circumstance, do you see His yes face or His no face? And when God asks you to give something away, promising that He will be your security, do you see that yes twinkle in His eye or that no, I'm going to trick you on this one sneer? What do you see when you look into His face? When you feel the tug of the Spirit in your heart to yield your life up to Him, to serve Him, to do what He wants you to do, to go where He wants you to go, to pay the price, to do whatever. When you feel the Spirit of God tugging in your heart to do that, Do you inside feel like God's doing this to take away your fun or to bless you with joy beyond your wildest dreams? In 1 Corinthians 1:20, the scripture says, "For every promise of God, every promise God has ever made, is yes in Jesus Christ." Is what? Yes in Jesus Christ. When you grab your Bible and you see a promise of God, and you say, "God, is this for me?" You look up and Jesus says, "Yes! That's for you, my child. Yes." And then it says, and we add the amen. We add the so be it. We add the action. We put it into practice. It begins with an acknowledgement of who God is. That acknowledgement begins to permeate us and becomes an attitude of expectancy, so that when God makes His promises, we act on them. That, my dear friends, is what God planned for His children. That's how He intended that we experience His great reward. Jesus has a yes face this morning. Did you know that? He has a yes face. See Him for who He really is, the rewarder. Acknowledge Him for who He is, and then believe Him for who He is. And let this reality permeate your attitudes, and then step out in action. Just a caution. Jesus does not reward those who stand back and doubt. Jesus does not reward those who sit on the fence. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let him not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Jesus does not reward those who vacillate back and forth. He rewards those who acknowledge Him, who expect from Him, and who step out in action to do something about it. That's the people Jesus rewards. Those who earnestly seek Him, those who aggressively pursue Him, those who boldly believe Him. These people know Jesus as the rewarder. And that, my dear friends, is the essence of faith. Join me in prayer. Lord, this kind of truth stretches our soul. This kind of information expands our mind and pushes over boundaries that we've erected. It starts to pull down some theological thoughts or presuppositions. This kind of truth, Lord, kind of rattles our cage, makes us uncomfortable because it moves us beyond where we live. But Jesus, thank You that You love us enough to speak Your truth to our life. Lord, open our eyes and help You see You for who You really are. The rewarder. The God with a yes face. The God who longs to bless those who will acknowledge Him, believe Him, expect from Him, and then act on His promises. Lord, make us this kind of people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't think of a better song to sing than "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and how does it finish? Oh, you mean there's a blessing to it? Let's sing about it.